Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Great to be with you. It's good to be back. My wife and I had a chance to travel with dear friends of ours who were classmates of ours at Baylor University. We graduated from Baylor University in Waco, and my roommate at Baylor, after graduation, married Freddie's roommate at Baylor, and so through all these years, we've known them and loved them and traveled with them, and so we had a chance to be with them. We visited Prague, Czech Republic, and then flew to Athens and Greece, and got on a ship and went past some Greek islands to the Holy Land. We had a great visit in the Holy Land for 3 days there, and while we were in the Holy Land, we took a bus tour from the ship to the northern part of the Holy Land after 2 days in the southern part of the Holy Land. So we were visiting Nazareth and Capernaum and the Jordan River. And when we got to the Jordan River, there was a place where people were being baptized. You know, Jesus himself was baptized in the Jordan by John. And it was a beautiful place. And the tour guide said, there is someone on our bus who has trusted Christ but has never been baptized. Is there anyone on board who is a minister? And I said, well, that's me. So the man's wife asked me if I would be willing to baptize her husband in the Jordan River. I said, sure. So this man named David, they are from Canada. David and I walked into the Jordan River, and people began to gather on the riverbank, and so I spoke to them as well, and I told them about David, and that he had not been a Christian too long, but that he'd never been baptized, but that he wanted to be baptized today, and following the Lord's example. And so I led everybody in prayer, and we had a beautiful baptismal experience, and as he came up out of the water, he gave me a hug, and everybody on the bank was celebrating. It was just a wonderful moment where we felt God so present as we baptized him there. Then we went on around to Rome, and then we did a second cruise on the same ship that left Rome and went by Spain and the Canary Islands, and then 6 or 7 open sea days to Miami. And we got home Friday night, tired but thankful for a good trip and a chance to be with dear friends and to see another part of the world and to be able to share in a baptismal moment with David. But it's good to get back here with you. I was telling somebody a while ago, it's good to travel, but it's good to come home, isn't it?
Yes.
It's good to be together. And that's what I want us to talk about today, together. Very important word. In your bulletin, you will see some sermon notes here at the bottom. So I do encourage you to look at those as we share together in the Word of God. But I don't know if you noticed it or not, as we read God's Word together this morning, did you notice, look at verse 42, Acts 2:42. Do you see the word together there? See that word? They were united together in the taking of broken bread and in prayer. And then look at verse 46. They were going in agreement together regularly to the temple and taking broken bread together in their houses. That word together is a very, very important word as we focus on the Christian life and our life together in the church. We can be Christians and not be in a church, but it is so much better if, as we live the Christian life, we can be together in church. Aren't you glad to be here today?
Yes.
It's very important. And so togetherness has always been important to the Christian faith, to the early Christians, as we read about in Acts chapter 2. So I want us to talk about that today. Being together in the Lord and in the church. So let's talk about what it means to be together. And in your bulletin, down here at the bottom of the page, you will see that, first of all, I would like for us to see why should you connect with one another in the church? Why be together in the church? Why is that important? Well, first of all, it's important because God wills it. God wants us to be together. He doesn't like to see Christians separated from one another, either by geography or by difficulty, problems, or whatever. God wants us to be together whenever we can, because together is where we can grow, we can experience fellowship, and we can witness our faith to the world around us. So God really wants us to be together. In the Garden of Eden, at the beginning of all things, God said, it is not good for us to be alone. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray the Lord's Prayer, you'll notice in the Lord's Prayer that Jesus does not use the pronouns I and me. He uses the pronouns us and our. He is assuming that Christians are going to be praying the Lord's Prayer together. In the New Testament, the image of the church in the New Testament that is used more often than other images is that the church is the body of Christ. We as the church together form the body of Christ. Therefore, that image of the body reminds us of how important each part of the body really is. You are very important to the Lord Jesus Christ. You are very important to this church. And together, we are the body of Christ in this place. You know, the Lord Jesus was physically present on earth for a few years, 33 years probably. But then he was ascended to be with the Lord. And so we don't see the physical body of the Lord Jesus Christ now. But the way the world can see the body of Christ is to look at Christians who love each other, who serve together, and who choose to be together rather than choosing to be apart. It's very, very important. The Lord wants us to be together. If you look in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 5, I encourage you to make a note of that and look it up later. Romans 12, verses 4 and 5, the scripture says, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Each member belongs to all the others. You know, if you look in your body, if you think about your body, we are made up of many different organs and bones and tissue of differing kinds. Our bodies are amazing, aren't they? The fact that it all works together the way it should. Well, each part of our body is important. When something doesn't work right, we don't feel good, do we? Our health is affected. Well, likewise, in the church. When you're not present at church sometime, we miss you. An important part of the body is missing. It's important for us to reach out to members who are not coming very often and say, you're important to the Lord. You're important to us. We all need to be together. Amen? Amen? We all need that. So, first, the reason why we should connect with one another in the church is, first of all, God wants us to. It's His desire, it's His heart, that we be united together, just like the various parts of our body. The second reason that we need to be with one another together in the church is that we need it. Not only does God desire it, but we need to be together. We need each other. We're called to belong, not just believe, right? We are called to belong, not just believe. We need each other as we live our faith. The Bible talks about our togetherness and how we need to be together. For instance, in the Bible, it talks about how we are put together, joined together, built together, members together, heirs together, fitted together, held together, and the scripture says that one day we will be caught up together to be with the Lord. The Bible wants us to focus on being together. We need that. Did you realize that in the New Testament, the phrase one another is used 51 times? You realize that? One another is used 51 times. Why? Because God knows that we really do need to be for one another and with one another. In fact, the scripture says that we are to love one another, pray for one another, encourage one another, greet one another, serve one another, accept one another, honor one another, bear one another's burdens, forgive one another, and be devoted to one another. There are verses that bring out all of those important words about being together for each other. Life is meant to be shared. Now, not only does the Lord want us to be together, but we need it. And we're living in a culture where togetherness is being challenged. We live in a culture where we all are so busy. We scatter because of our jobs or because of our travel. We get involved in so many commitments. It's hard to get together, isn't it? And in the nation, it's really being affected, togetherness. Robert Putnam wrote a book, and the title of the book is very interesting. You know what the title of the book is? Bowling Alone. Think about that. Bowling Alone. In the book, he talks about how difficult it is for people to get together these days. For instance, do you realize that in the last 25 years, civic club membership like Rotary, Lions Club, and other civic clubs, enrollment in those clubs has declined 58%. Families eating dinner together in their homes have dropped from 50% to 34%. Now, maybe you have felt that in your own homes, how difficult it is to get together as a family and just enjoy a meal on a regular basis. You all have that problem? Is that a difficult thing for you? It probably is. Do you realize that inviting friends over to your home for a shared meal has declined in the last 25 years by 45%? It seems that the more affluent we are, you know, the more money we have, the more involved we are, the more isolated we tend to become. And that's not good for us. So we're living in a culture that is divisive and not valuing togetherness. Therefore, as a church, we have a witness to the world about the importance of that. One person has made the observation that it seems that Americans these days are beginning to prefer cocooning over connecting. Cocoon. You know what a cocoon is? You know, how it, we tend to just wrap ourselves up in our own little world, our own home, our own activities, and we don't connect like we should with the world around us, with believers, with non-believers, with the church. And so church involvement in the United States is declining, and we need to do all we can to increase our togetherness. It's important for us to value togetherness. You notice in nature that animals prefer to be together. Have you noticed that? We talk about swarms of bees, flocks of birds, herds of cows, schools of fish. We usually think of animals as a group. We need to learn from them that we need to be together. especially as followers of Christ in his church. So, not only is our togetherness something that God wants, and it is something that we need, but it is also a powerful witness to our world that is becoming increasingly divided. John 13:35 says this in God's word, "By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." So Jesus said, our best witness to a divided world is our togetherness as we sacrificially love each other because we have been saved through the grace of God. The world needs our witness. The world needs our example of togetherness, of love for each other. So it's very important that we bear that witness to the world. Every time you get together here on Sunday morning, every time you get together on Friday nights for food and fellowship and Bible study, every time you have a fellowship function out in the community, at a park somewhere, that's a witness to our world. You are helping people understand that togetherness is something that people of God love and focus on. So, not only should we understand why we should get together, but secondly, how? How can we do that? How can we change and be together more than maybe we have been in the past? Well, it's important for us to invest ourselves in relationships. Here at Central Baptist Church, we've had a slogan for a long time, and I know you're aware of it, but you remember it. It's investing ourselves in relationships with God, one another, and the world. It may be in your bulletin. Is it in the bulletin? And if not, it might be a good slogan for us to include in the bulletin here. The church here at Central, together, we are investing ourselves in relationship. It's important for us to do that. A while ago, we read scripture together, and if you want to look at your scripture in your bulletin, you will see that they were, in verse 42, they were united together in the taking of broken bread and in prayer. United together. They really believed in investing themselves in relationships through the church. You've got to prioritize it. You know, every Sunday morning, every Friday evening, you got to make a decision. Are you going to go to church or are you going to do something else? And God would be very pleased if we would give priority to our relationships together. He really wants us to be united as the early Christians were as we serve the Lord together through his church. So not only is it important for us to understand why we should do that and how we can do that, but thirdly, what should we do together when we do get together in the church? Well, if you look at the scriptures, you will notice that God wants us to do at least five very important things together as the church. If everything that the scripture encourages us to do can be summarized under these five important headings that I am wanting us to look at right now, and they're listed in your bulletin. Let's look at them together. When we come together, God wants us to focus on evangelism. You'll notice that here in the scripture, notice what it says in verse 47. Giving praise to God and having the approval of all the people, and every day, the number of those who had salvation was increased by the Lord. Every day, the believers were witnessing to non-believers there in Jerusalem and in the first century world. And by the first three centuries, when those first three centuries had been completed, they noticed the king declared that the world is Christian. Now, that doesn't mean that every single person in the world had trusted Christ, but people were noticing that the Word of God was increasing, that people were being saved. Well, these days, that is not happening like it should. a lot of us believers are not sharing our faith the way we ought to share it. There are a lot of unsaved people all around us. And so we need to be focused on evangelism, sharing the Lord Jesus Christ with non-believers. If you look in Acts chapter 4, verse 33, you will notice what the scripture says there about the importance of evangelism in the early church. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work upon them all. So they really focused on evangelism, and I think we need to focus on it as well, sharing God's love with folks that don't yet know Him. So maybe one of the focus points for us as the church here in this place is to see how can we increase our evangelistic witness to unsaved people on campus, in the community, maybe in your own family, in your neighborhood. How can you give more focus to evangelism? Secondly, worship. God is so pleased when we worship Him together. We are worshiping Him right now, and I think God is smiling, don't you? He's very happy when His people come together to worship Him. Now, we don't have to be together to worship God, and I hope you do worship Him when you're alone as well. Or maybe as a couple in your home, I hope that you pray together, and I hope you'll read God's Word together. Take some time to worship God in your home. It's very important for us to worship. Look at what it says in verse 43 of God's Word. Fear came on every soul, and all sorts of wonders and signs were done by the apostles. That word fear does not mean that they were scared of God. That word fear, when you see it in the Bible, in this context, means that people were just in awe of God. They held Him in such high esteem. They praised Him. They had this sense that God alone is worthy of praise, and He is. And I hope that you have that sense in your own life, that God alone is worthy of your praise and your thanksgiving. I hope that you have that sense of holy awe, a holy fear about the Lord God. Not only evangelism and worship, but also fellowship. Notice what it says in verse 42. They were united together in the breaking of bread. Fellowship. I know you look forward to Friday nights, and I do too. It's always good to get together and share some pizza or whatever we're having and enjoy fellowship around the table. The early believers really focused on fellowship. The scripture here tells us that they gathered in their homes and they shared meals. They shared Lord's Supper. Around the table, some wonderful things happened as they grew in Christ. And I know you love to do fellowship together, not only on Friday night, but I hear you had a really good fellowship in mid-October. It's really important to get together and just share life together, fellowship. Not only fellowship, but also discipleship. Look at Acts 2:42. It says that they fixed their attention on the apostles' teaching. We all need to keep growing in our faith, don't we? God's Word is our guide. God's Word is truth. It is the Word of God. And we need to love it. We need to read it. We need to grow in our understanding of it. We all need to be involved in discipleship, which means as believers, we seek to be disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. And disciples are those who really know their leader, who really value what He's saying. And so we need to understand what God is wanting us to do and be. It will shape your life, and it should. We need discipleship in our lives. Not only discipleship, but mission ministry. Notice that the scripture tells us that the early believers exchanged their goods and property. Look at verse 45. They exchanged their goods and property for money and made division of it among them all as they had need. The early believers knew that there were needs all around them. And so they believed that as followers of Christ, they needed to share. They needed to care. They needed to serve others in Jesus' name. Mission ministry is very, very important. So I think it's important for us here as a congregation to determine, okay, how can this congregation, how can you, us together, reach out to people in need, to try to meet whatever needs there are. It might be financial, it might be spiritual, it might be emotional, it might be relational, but there are needs in people's lives all around us. And we need to care about that and really serve to reach out to other folks around us. So if you want to know what are the five big purposes of God for his church, here it is. Evangelism, worship, fellowship, discipleship, and mission ministry. And if you look at the first letter of those five important purposes, it forms an acrostic of EWFDM. Do you see that? That, if you remember that, EWFDM, you might want to pronounce it Eufdom. Eufdom. So remembering those letters, let's say together right now the five purposes that God has for us, his church. Join me. Evangelism, worship,
fellowship,
discipleship, mission ministry. Let's say it again.
Evangelism, worship, fellowship, discipleship, mission ministry.
That's what God wants us to be doing. Well, a few years ago, we focused on God's purposes for his church here at Central. We focused on that. And then together we decided that those were so important that we wanted to be reminded of them on a regular basis. So we made the decision to create a bronze plaque with one of those purposes and an accompanying scripture reference. And we did that for all five of these. And we decided to embed them in concrete right out here by the entrance of the church. Have you seen that? Have you seen them? You might have walked over them and not known what they are. Right out here at the Fairview entrance, you will see five bronze plaques in the concrete. And if you will stop, in fact, I hope I'll meet you out there at the church and we'll look at them together. I hope you'll study them for a moment. We wanted to make sure that members and guests alike, when they came into the church, would understand what we're about. What do we do when we come together? It's important to know that, isn't it? And so that's what we do. Evangelism and worship and fellowship and discipleship and mission ministry. And if we'll do all five of those, God will be really pleased. And we will be obedient to his word. And we will experience the joy of being the body of Christ together. Let's pray. Thank you, O God, for calling us together. Lord, we know that you want us to be united, to be one, to be the body of Christ, where every member is equally important. Oh God, thank you for this reminder today as we have come together to worship you. Father, I just pray that you would bless this congregation. As we move forward together, Lord, please help us to accomplish the purposes that you have for us so that we might experience the joy of being faithful to you because you have been so faithful to us. Here today, oh God, I pray that we would make a fresh commitment to be together in church and to be together in accomplishing the purposes that you have for us. Guide us, Father. May you find us faithful. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.